All right, everybody, what up? Welcome in. Today, I have an amazing Kendama legend, someone who's been playing just about as long as I have, who traveled with me around the world in the beginning days of Kendama, and Kendama helped shape what he does today. So I'm very excited to talk to the one, the only, TJ Kolsnick. What's up, dude?
What up?
Oh, my gosh.
It's amazing to be here. I've been following Kendama for such a long time now, and I still keep up with so much stuff. So it's been amazing to see what you've been doing with the Kendama community and what every other company has been doing. It's amazing that you guys are just pushing along and continuing to do this thing.
Dude, so much new media to try to push Kendama through. You know, it's not just YouTube videos and comments like back in the day when we were communicating, right, in the beginning. It's like it's a thread with every person I talk to is like, dude, all we had to do was make like edits. And that was our only goal always, was to just go somewhere, make a sick edit, and we'd have months to edit it and it would be fine. But now it's like, every day you need a recap, and every week you need a sick reel about the week. And then, you know, like, we have so many things. It's just crazy.
I agree with you. It's just the fact of the progression of social media, and not only in tricks as well. Like, I'm seeing people do tricks that I didn't even think were possible. And I'm back here thinking of, like, I'm sitting in, like, KG Roots with Jake just doing, like, Moshi Kame. I'm like, now people are doing tightrope flips. Are you serious?
Dude, so do you actively follow a lot of Kendama players still? Like, do you actively hit follow on newer players and watch new stuff?
Sometimes. Like, I play Kendama every day. I have so many Kendamas in my office. Like, I sit here when I'm, like, on calls or whatever, I'm sitting here playing Kendama. I go out to my patio. I'm like, I need to get away from my computer and my clients. Like, I'm going to go jam some Dama. You know, that's always been what Kendama is about to me, is get outside, go do something, and, like, get away from technology.
Dude.
But to answer your question, yes, I keep up with a lot of stuff. I see everything going on, like 20 tricks later, or 28 tricks later. Jesus.
You can't miss it, dude. You can't miss Kendama this month. It's insane.
Yeah, but back to the whole, like, progression of social media, like, you have to do so much video content and daily, basically, not only stories, but Twitch and TikTok and YouTube and Shorts. And there's all these places that you have to post it. And it's so cool that I still see so much stuff on a daily basis of what people are posting and doing tricks about.
Yeah, dude. And I know that's a lot of stuff that you do today, too, with your company. But I want to start at the beginning of Kendama and, like, go back to some nostalgic days of when you started playing and stuff. Because, you know, you're part of my story growing up, you know, like, Turner was a huge, like, inspiration to me. And so, to me, you were, like, Turner 2.0 when you came on the scene. Like, you were his homie, and you were, like, you had the same style, and you were, like, obviously you played Kendama with him, so you could do, like, all the hard, cool tricks that he could do and stuff. And that was, like, your style is something that I always looked up to in Kendama, and in just, like, the way you dress and stuff, which was part of the Saga story, dude. And that, oh, look at that hoodie. Just flexing his own gear, dude.
Wait, hold on. I'm working on this merch line right now, and I'm about to drop it. So I'm, like, really
dang, dude. It looks epic. Honestly, that's so sick.
Thank you.
Dude, I wear...
It's, like, over...
No, okay. Go ahead.
It's just this, like, overweight baggy fit. Like, Jake Fisher actually commented on my Instagram. He's like, bring, like, tall TT back. So I've got some stuff coming out. I love it.
Oh, dude. Well, we're here to support. The Kendama community has got your back. But, like, I bought a long hoodie that I wear and tag you every time I do. Like, the last trick I did for 20 tricks later, I was wearing it outside of this cottage because, like, it brings a nostalgia to me that is epic, and I really do love it. But it started with Saga, and it started, which is a company that I think helped shape your Kendama story in the beginning. So enough of me talking. I want to hear, like, how you got into it and tell a little bit of the TJ story from the jump.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, man, it's been a while. I initially, like, hurt my foot skiing in high school. This was back in 2010. So this is when Kendama really wasn't a thing. Like Turner Thorne, Colin Sanders, Zach Yord, like those were the guys.
Mm-hmm.
And luckily I lived in the same area as Turner. We lived right up the street from each other in Lake Tahoe. So I got put onto Kendama and I was like, damn, this thing is fun. Like I'm going to just get really good at this thing. And that's what I was doing. Like I worked as a ski rental, like jet ski rental operator and a parasail deckhand. And I'd bring a Kendama out on the beach and just like jam with it and start coming up with new tricks. And this was on like a tribute shape that Jero dropped, and it was like this slick Kendama, but it was dope. I remember it was a lavender tribute, and like all this stuff was happening, and I just was so addicted to Kendama for like a year straight. And that's when, you know, Turner and I would hang out almost every day. We'd go film. We had like the version one GoPro, and we'd go set it up at night. And like I have all those videos. Like
no
I actually
way.
Go back and reminisce. Yeah, I go back and reminisce on all those videos because I'm like,
oh gosh,
it was such a cool time in my life. If that has shaped me who I am today,
yeah.
And it's been this whole thing. So like,
what year was that? What year was it? What year was like when you were hanging with Turner mm-hmm. and like, is it him being like super famous pro status? Like it's him being at his peak, right? Like, is when,
yeah,
or is he still coming up to that?
It was still coming up to that. So
yeah.
When I got into Kendama, the next year was like when the CUSA Pro announcement came out. So that's when like everybody submitted videos. Damian Clavin, me, like all these people, right?
So we're talking 2011 or 20.
This is when they're, we were looking for the new Kendama USA Pro for 2011.
Yeah, dang. Okay, cool. I just had to figure out what year it was. Got it.
Yeah. It was one of those 2 years, but then that's when Alex Smith became pro, and Kendama USA was like, hey, you guys are dope. Me, Jake, Keith, and Dave, do you guys want to be on tribute team? And then we dropped that banger video that Jake made with,
And so then, I was wondering, so you four, you four got added as like a secondary squad or whatever, for lack of a better term. You're the newbies essentially. Like,
yeah. I would say like the amateur team, you know, pro and AM.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, I didn't really know what that meant at the time. I just got out of high school. I wanted to be a pro skier. I hurt myself. I picked up a Kendama. I was going down to Turner and I would like take a Subi down to San Francisco and go kick it with Jake and Colin and like see Mugens and like all this stuff. fast forward. Now we're doing, you know, tightrope. But I'll talk a little bit more about that, like that where that journey was from like tribute, because once we got announced a tribute, we flew out to the New York Toy Fair, and it was like paradise for me being 19 years old. I was like, cool, I can play with a ball and cup and travel the world with homies and do like dope shit and be like just having the best time.
Mm-hmm.
And at that age, I'm thinking like, Jeremy, why the hell did you ever let all these dudes just come into the Kendama scene and do what we did? But like that one thing is like culture to me. We shaped almost the culture of what Kendama is, because not myself, like wholeheartedly the OGs in Kendama, and I'm talking from like Colin Sander to Jeremy to Turner to Zach to you to Christian to Royce to all these people that we looked up to, that's what shaped the culture of Kendama. And so to me, there was these phases of it. It was like Colin, Turner, Zach were like the OG hot shots. And then the rise of the Kendama scene in 2015 in San Diego was like when I got put on the spot. I was bouncing around all over San Diego doing birthdays, events, doing whatever I could to just like make some cash.
Birthdays more. I forgot. Like you literally were gigging one whole summer. Like you made more money doing that than selling damas.
At that time, I was thinking like, okay, I could hustle my way into this and people want to see me and they want to like play Kendama with me. And I can also be an inspiration to kids, which is why the, you know, pro model video that I announced, I had those kids in there because they transformed my life of who I am today, even though it was back then in 2016.
Yeah, yeah.
But back to the whole story of, I was just traveling around and grinding and pushing Kendama in San Diego and I saw this opportunity. So I was like, okay, let's go to this store, let's go to this, let's go to that. And funny thing to think about is an owner of an agency here in San Diego, he was a co-owner of the agency. I met him at this birthday event that I went to that Chris Cole was at, the skateboarder.
No
way. And I walk in and I walk in, I'm just like, holy shit, that's Chris Cole. And his kids coming up to me and be like, TJ, can I have your autograph? I'm like, wait, can I
have your dad's autograph, please?
Well, because I remember being at in the KG Roots, the second KG Roots tour, we were driving up to Oregon and Jord and I were like drinking some fat tires in the back playing Tony Hawk's Pro Skater, like in the van. And we were like Chris Cole. So it just like this nostalgia thing happened where I'm like, this connected this dot. So there's some synergy there of like why I met this person.
Dang.
Him. And then the reason I'm saying this is because the agency owner is a good friend of mine. So like all of this synergy happened, but that was 6-7 years ago, you know?
So that is like part of your, so when we talk about your business later on, literally it's these connections you made via doing Kendama birthday parties in San Diego that like help shape the connections that you made, which is, it's literally networking, right? Like it's what's the saying? Like, it's not about it's not about what you know, it's who you know. And that's one of those, those moments where like you could go to school for a million years and it wouldn't get you into that birthday party to meet those homies. Like life is weird in those ways, dude. And you got to flow with it like the water and go where it takes you. So that's super, that's so crazy. So, I want to say, you said KG Roots Tour, and I had in my notes here KG Roots Tour, because to me, you were like, with Jake, you were the hype dude of the tour. Like, you were the guy throwing things out. You were the guy, like, being the party, if for lack of a better term, dude, like, when we showed up. So I was wondering if you could give me, like, a, you know, maybe a story that's, give me a story from either the first or second or, you know, that it can be, we have a bunch of, you know, adults in the chat for the most part. And if, you know, we can,
dope. Okay,
cool. I want to hear a cool, we want to hear something that we might not have heard on a different, you know, something or another.
Man, the one like vague memory I have, or like, it's a faint memory of, that Pluto hotel we stayed at, remember? And we were fucking like throwing mattresses out and jumping off the balcony and some homie like broke his shoulder or some shit.
Yord was the one, like, wasn't he a big part of orchestrating that?
Yeah, so me and Yord were always like, okay, let's just do some like fucked up shit. Not in a bad way, but like, let's just create some havoc. Like, that's just who Yord and I were together. We were like the twins.
When
we
had 19.
The same shorts on. And
yeah.
Yeah, we were living a cool life. We're like, cool, we're playing ball and cup. We're traveling around. We're like drinking beers. Like, okay, this is cool.
Mm-hmm.
But that memory is good because also Zach got on the roof of the hotel and flipped off of it into the pool. And Matt Rice got a photo of this, and I think it's still on his Instagram. We should find it.
Oh.
But it's, I don't know if it's Zach like completely upside down or if he's just jumping, but it's basically him in the air over a pool just waiting to go in.
Yeah.
And that was just what we did. We just, we almost adopted the rollerblading scene of how we did, like rollerblading, skate, like all of that stuff. I remember three king beds being in a hotel room and we're all just like crammed in there. But it was the best time. So it was all the homies.
Yeah.
We're all playing Dama, staying up till 6 a.m., like just still shredding Dom.
Yeah, dude. Well, we were young enough too where like you don't hurt. You don't feel sore the next day. Like that's just what you're doing. You're just grinding until the sun comes up. You're like, oh, okay, I guess we got to sleep. But you guys had to, like, you guys slept for 2 hours. And, oh, there was some, I think it was Jake maybe, that we reminisced about. We watched you sleeping on the lawn of a Holiday Inn or something.
Because you just about to get to.
Yeah, because you couldn't get in the hotel. So you guys literally took blankets and pillows and went and slept on the front lawn of the hotel. And then went and hung out with a park full of kids later that day and played unicorn battles.
Yeah.
Like, actually unhinged.
The rest of the boys, we had like, I think that was Ballard, Keith, Matt, Dave, Mateo, me, Alex Smith. We were all packed in that van, but I think Yord, myself, and Colin all went outside to just sleep outside because I had a sleeping bag and I was like, cool, I'll just sleep on the, we literally slept on the lawn. Like we woke up and people were walking on the sidewalks. We're like, yep, we just slept here.
Yeah, chat remembers the story. It must have been Colin who told it because he remembers it like yesterday too.
It's all on video too. We got to pull it up. It's in the video file somewhere. But then 2 hours later, we go just shredding for kids. And I'm just like, what up? It's your boy T. Let's get after it.
Oh my gosh, dude. So like aside from those like KG Roots tours that were like I think really important for Kendam in the beginning to provide that feeling of this isn't yo-yo, this isn't like your, you know, whatever kind of toy, this is a sick fun thing that we're doing, was the trips to Hawaii. And I think that came soon, either it was right before California or after, but either way, it's where the Weens and Fueg show came from. And like me and Max were there with you guys like all the time in so many different places. But I know that you went to Hawaii just as much as me. So I was wondering if you could just touch on like what Hawaii was like as TJ back in the day, like going there for the first time. Because I think you were in high school still, right? Like that wasn't post, was it?
I was out of high school by then. So this had to have been in, this was like 2015. So this is when I was like 22, 23 years old.
Okay, got you.
Like the prime of my travels of Kendama was like when I moved back down to San Diego, it was like the 2015 start of like me just traveling like crazy.
Got it.
Yeah, we were traveling here and there and like still building the Kendama scene. Mm-hmm. But once San Diego hit, it was like, okay, now all these other cities are popping off. Yeah, San Francisco was doing something and whoever else was doing stuff. But then Hawaii emerged and it was like, whoa. We first flew out there, I think I was, again, like 22, 23. And we stayed at the Ko'olina Resort. And I, being 22 years old, going to this dope-ass resort in Hawaii, about to like go sign autographs and play Kendama for kids, it was unreal. I can't even tell you how I felt then, because it was just such a moment that I just took in with the team. Haley was there. Dave was there. We brought the rest of the squad out there the next time. Mm-hmm. But within a course of 3 months, I went four times. And that first time, we walked up on stage and there's thousands of kids screaming. I can't even, like, there's video footage of it.
Yeah.
Thousands and thousands and thousands of kids. We would go anywhere in Hawaii and we would just post a photo on Instagram and there would be somebody that knew us. Or I remember doing this giveaway thing where we're like, yo, let's just post a photo and see what happens. And then a kid would get there within 5 minutes and get it.
Yeah,
and it was just like, damn, this is so cool. So then from there, we kept going back to Hawaii to do promotional events, to fly to Maui for one day. I remember Jake, myself, and Dave just flew to Maui one time. And we did this event. And then we just got on mopeds the rest of the day and just like cruised around, had a good time, and then flew back to Oahu to do another event.
Yeah.
So as much fun as it was, and why I'm saying this, like there's so many grind hours that we put in. Just me being young, I was all about it. But like, I don't know how Jake kept up with me. Like he was almost 8 years older than me, but I think I kept him young.
Dude.
But just the energy, the people, the kids, the love, the emotion, all of those things kept us going each day.
Mm-hmm.
Plus all the filming, all the things that we could showcase of why Kendama is so important in the world.
Well, that's the key, I think. And what, you know, maybe I was getting to, because I was in Hawaii all those times too, and it truly was like an experience like we probably will never experience that again, unless you want to get professional at something else, or unless Kendama blows to the moon. Like we may never feel that feeling, like, because it's not something you can recreate and not something you can ever like signing one Kendama is a really cool feeling, but to sit behind a table and have 600 kids waiting in line for the whole afternoon, that's like a whole other can of worms that is kind of just like you had security guards. Like it was, I'm trying to, and I only bring this up because I try to paint a picture to everyone in chat, because now Kendama is 21 year old and up, essentially, is like the main people mm-hmm. pushing Kendama really hard right now. And kids play along the way, but it's not like it was when we started, where we were the 21 year olds influencing the 13 year olds to play a ton, you know? And that's why I just want to, just so chat knows, like this is 13 year olds who like traveled the islands to come to these one malls, and it shaped a lot of stuff. And for you, it was like, correct me if I'm wrong, obviously, but like you and Jake got really close during those trips, because not everyone went every time. It was everyone went, but then sometimes it was you and Jake maybe went to an island, or you and Jake went on a special trip. And I remember clearly like you wanting to learn from Jake, like, and Jake wanting to teach you so that he had help, so he didn't have to body every single edit of every single trip. And like, it seemed like this perfect match of someone who's wanting to learn and someone who is willing to like you know, teach, because Jake is, we as we know, like, he's an inspiration to a lot of us in that realm. So what was it like having him as kind of like a mentor starting out in that?
Yeah, absolutely. First things, like, I would not be where I'm at without Jake. He shaped who I am with photography and video, and taught me to look at life and look at Kendama in a different lens, which is why we got connected so well. And we're just on the same level of, like, energy wise too.
Yeah.
But the first KG Roots tours that I'd went to, and then a first, you know, a couple events here and there, and going down to San Diego, and all these interactions I had with Jake, it just made us closer and closer. And then we'd go to Hawaii together, or we'd go to some place together, just us. And it's like, we're just vibing together. I mean, he's the one who got me to wear fedoras. It was my fedora phase. Everybody loves that. Can't wait for those photos to be brought back up. I still have those fedoras too.
Oh, that's
anyway,
sick.
Yeah, with hanging out with Jake more, like, he kept showing me how to do things, and I just adapted to what he would tell me. You know, I never went to school for video editing. I never went to school for any of these things. Mm-hmm. It's like, I learned by process, and I learned by failure, and I learned by people that I surrounded myself with. When you're around somebody, you can, you know, understand what they're doing, but it's all in you if you want to take that next step. So what I did was like, okay, Jake's teaching me this, that, and this. He's filming all these things for Kendama USA. He learned from Colin. I learned from Colin. Colin shoots amazing stuff. How can I be that next person to step in to help Jake? And that's kind of where it went. But then we had all these other side tasks, like Weens and Twigs show was just us raw in the moment with our GoPro. Like, here's what we do on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah.
We don't sleep very much. We drink coffee. We act silly. We sign autographs. We have fun with kids, and we do ridiculous stuff. And those moments were... I can't explain to you those moments, because it was just something that Jake and I had such a good bond with, mm-hmm. and has shaped me to who I am today.
Dang. That's very cool. And I think it's cool to everyone in chat to know that, like, you didn't go to school for any of that. Like, you just saw someone doing it and you're like, well, I can do that. Let me get those things. And you had Jake to learn from, but anyone can learn from anyone. Cooper learned from YouTube, you know, along with people along the way, but, like, it's the drive inside and, like, that want to persevere that really pushes it. And we are all lucky enough to have Kendama as this thing to photograph and to take video of and to be creative with, because a lot of people don't even have that. They just got to go out in the world and figure out what to shoot. But we are given this tool, you know, that can help spread joy. And, oh, dude, it's so sick. Yeah, dude, look at all those. Is that your first one?
No, this is my second one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, hold on. Let me show that. Yeah, that's there. Ooh. I have where are they? I actually have a few here. I usually have these on display just because I have them. So yeah. This was the first model.
Yeah, that's the one I was thinking of, because that's the one you did a gold flake variant of, right?
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah. And the cool thing is, like, it says make waves right there.
Dude, you were putting on. How many years ago was that?
Yeah. This was 2016. This launched 2016.
Jeez, yeah. 8 years ago, you manifested that, dude.
Yeah. Yeah. And then this one, too. This one's got the make waves down here.
Dude.
Yeah, in the script. And then this is the second one. This one launched in 2018. And this was on Valentine's Day, actually, 2018. I was in New York. I remember launching this and being in an Uber and doing a live stream, being like, yo, my mod's out. But then this is also when I was going through, like, a really bad heartbreak with my girlfriend. So I was, like, happy and not happy. Yeah. And I couldn't tell anybody how I was feeling. I'm like, fuck, this sucks. But I love this. I love everybody. And that kind of kept me pushing, too.
Yeah, dude. I mean, designing Kendama, isn't it crazy how you can attach so many different memories to the time and place when you were making those or when you got it? For me, the edits that I make going through that process is such a big thing. Like, was your first edit like one? What was the first video you made for Kendama USA? Was my question. Like, you were like, I'm in charge. Like, I got to do good on this. Everyone's, you know, going to watch it. And
that was the, I want to say that was like the Euro tour video. It was like the first stab I had at putting together a whole tour video by myself.
Dang.
There was like times when there was times when I'd help shoot things, like when we'd go to Japan or when we need to shoot Dave or myself or Alex or whoever it was, like we would do that. But I think Euro Tour from start to finish, like a conceptualized shot, edited, cut, and delivered.
Dang, that's dope. And what year was that?
Yeah. I want to say that's 20. I want to say it's 2017.
Yeah.
We went to Sweden for a week, and we went to Romania. Dude, that was wild, bro.
Romania was that a was sick crazy. Place, bro. Tell me a Romania story.
let me backtrack. Because,
yeah.
Like the 2015 phase of San Diego, like that's when I felt like I put myself on the mark, where I was like, I'm going after this. Like, mm-hmm. I'm doing all these events. I'm getting some social clout. I want to take that next step to be a kendama player or a professional kendama player. Yeah. Even though I felt like I wasn't saying I was, but in that spotlight, it's like, okay, TJ's a pro kendama player in San Diego, but I'm not really a pro. So at that time, there was like this like overlap.
Yeah.
But all in all, it's like we were promoting, we were pushing kendama for the betterment of joy and to, you know, get something in the kids' hands or the people's hands. Mm-hmm. And that's what we did. But, you know, once all that happened over a span of a year, I was traveling to Japan. I was traveling to all these places just because I needed to play kendama. I was doing stuff with Kit Corporation. I flew to Japan 4 times in 1 year just to do trade shows. And so I was out there.
That dude like, loved you so much.
expected 22, a fresh 22-year-old who's gone to Japan a few times because of World Cup. And now I'm just out there by myself in a Corvette and eating some delicious food and hanging around with a dude that's 40 years older than me. And I'm loving it. It was fucking sick, dude. We're just
those
mobbing.
Those stories are so funny. Oh.
Yeah. So, like, that happened. And then I started getting the whole pro model thing announcement prepared for. So I was filming, doing this, that. And then that happened. And then immediately when I launched the pro model, like, people were stoked. It was, like, such a meaningful video and piece to me that Jake directed and cut. Like, still on YouTube, one of my favorite videos I go back to.
Mm-hmm.
Once that happened, we launched the Make Waves World Tour, and that's when I went on a 6-week world tour to 4 countries and 19 cities in the span of 6 weeks and just promoted kendama in my pro model.
Damn. That's how many places you went?
Yeah, in 6 weeks.
Wow.
And I don't think anybody else has done like a tour like that or
that's
in the space of that sense.
Yeah, that's a
and
lot.
And It was hard. It was hard at that age, but I also learned so much. Like, again, why I am how I am and who I am today is because of those hard times.
Yeah.
My failures make me who I am, and that's why I strive to be 101% better every day.
Yeah, dude. And traveling, I mean, you working on the go is the number one thing that, like, I see Jake doing and has obviously instilled in you, is that you're always editing no matter where you are. It doesn't matter your computer. you can always edit. And so you've traveled a lot. You've been a lot of places. What's your favorite place? Like, favorite place? If you could travel back to any place you've been, where would you go back to? Even if
Are
you've
you
been back there.
Are you saying kendama side or like where I am now?
I just say.
Or can I give you both?
Let me give you both. Just as a traveled human, what do you think's the coolest, you know?
For sure. The cool thing is about my traveling now is I have a little bit more money. I have a little bit more stability in what I'm doing. So it's a little bit of a different experience.
Yeah.
But in the kendama days, it was like, damn, my travels were paid for. You know, hotels were paid for. I was getting a little bit payments here and there. And it's like, damn, this is so cool. I want to experience this as long as I can.
Mm-hmm.
But probably the top place will always really be Japan for me, just because of the sentimental value it has to me.
Yep.
In the kendama world, like, that's such a big impact of why I was able to do so much. So that's a big thing for me.
Give
now
me a
today, like,
well, oh, one sec. Sorry. Give me a well, because I love Japan. I've been there 16 times. So tell me your favorite place in Japan, because there's lots of Japan.
Shibuya.
Yeah. Okay. So just straight Shibuya. That's a good answer. That's usually my answer as well.
I love Shibuya for the sense of like fashion and like that style, like Japanese style. And yeah. I saw Nobu like a few months ago. Actually, I was in Japan.
Oh, cool.
So I got to have some. Yeah, we chobiru kanpai. It was a yabai time.
Chosugoi.
Yeah, but Shibuya, that's amazing. Like Hokkaido or like Matsumoto. I actually went there with Torkil one time to do some promo thing with Chrome and Konami USA.
Yeah.
And we went to this like authentic soba noodle house, and it was dumping snow. It was so fucking sick. and beautiful. Matsumoto, like that specifically, like I want to go to Matsumoto just to have soba. So now fast forward to my life now, I've been able to travel to so many different places. Like I love Europe. I love Portugal. I'm actually looking to maybe get property out there at some point.
Cool.
Europe in general is just a nostalgia vibe to me, and it brings memories to me, and I'm Italian and I love photography, and there's just a lot of sentimental value there.
Mm-hmm.
But to my point, I feel like I've traveled to so many countries that I know specifically where I want to go to for that experience, i.e., oh, I want to go to Matsumoto or Hokkaido to go skiing and also like have authentic soba mm-hmm. and just reconnect with myself, or go to Hawaii and chill or whatever. So I kind of tie experiences to the places that I go to. But as of now, I really, really enjoy Europe. It's very my speed of pace. I love being out there to just slow down a little bit and not live this kind of fast-paced life that I do in San Diego all the time.
Yeah. Dude, that's so dope. That sounds so nice. Hawaii is like always my place I go back to. Like you go to a lot of beautiful places in the world, but Hawaii just, it's unmatched at some points.
Absolutely. I do layovers quite frequently to Hawaii because my girlfriend's Korean and she's got family out there, so we'll like go out there quite a bit.
Oh, cool.
I love Korea as well. If anybody's ever been to Korea or on the chat wants to go to Korea, like definitely recommend it. It's a spot.
Korea's dope. I got to go there once a long time ago and I had such a great time. But again, I was younger and it was crazier, that was for sure.
Yeah, like when you have a little bit more money and you're doing something, like it's different, but
yeah,
it's not like I ever want to change myself. I always want to be who I am no matter what happens in life. Mm-hmm. And that has to do with the people you surround yourself with and just the culture, you know?
Yeah. So what's up with Drape Face?
Oh my God, that is the best video ever. Jason Morrison. Does everybody know about all that, like,
no.
Syndicate? Do you want to hear about that story?
No,
oh, man.
No one knows any of that stuff. Jake told me to say that to you on stream.
Hold on 1 second. My laptop is not charging. I'm not sure why it's not charging. Give me 1 second.
Yeah, either. Yeah.
Oh, that's why. One second, team.
Hey, it's all good.
There we go. We're back. Hi, Jake. Yes, this is going to be an amazing story here. So, Jake and I have to like go back into my memory right now. Mm-hmm. Jake and I were traveling so much together doing all of these events in Northern California. And for some stupid reason, Jake and I said, let's put as many stops on this little tour that we take to tire ourselves out. And that's basically what we did. And I think we did like 6 or 7 stops in 2 days and had to basically drive to all these places. The video of the Weens and Fuegs show, I think it's Weens and Fuegs show Bay Area, it just shows all of these things. But in the middle of all of that, we were all enjoying some Japanese whiskey at a hotel that we were at, and Jason Morrison from Kandela Syndicate comes over. That's what we'd usually do. We'd all get together, have some Japanese whiskey, talk some shit, play some Dama, stay up all night, and do it all over.
Mm-hmm.
So this particular night, we were all having a great time playing Kandama, drinking some whiskey. Next thing you know, I wanted to get up on the ledge and do some trick, and of course Jake's going to film it. So the what my recollection is, he opens the drapes and I just do a spike, just straight up, bin spike, no, like not even looking at it, and I do it just like this. And then Jason gets up there and he had a little bit too much whiskey and he just fucking pulls that drape down and you see it on his face. Me, Jake, and Jason probably talk about this every year. We screenshot that video and we're like, what's up, Drape Face? And he completely ripped the shades down, like off of the screws. And we're all just sitting there a little bit buzz drunk. We're like, fuck, we have to check out of this hotel at 10 a.m. tomorrow. What are we going to do? So we woke up the next morning, found a screwdriver, Jimmy rigged it, got the whole plating and the screws. Jason and I held it up while Jake freaking took the screwdriver and drilled that bitch back in. We checked it all, made sure it was good, acted like it never even happened. We still haven't told them.
Oh my gosh, dude. Now that is a classic hotel Kandama story, bro. That is, and I remember you fools were feeling rough the next day for sure after that one too. Oh my goodness. Because Jake brings it up, and it brings up Jason because he was part of the Kendama scene for like a couple years, and he was heavily involved for a couple of years of the, he was like Kendama Depot before Kendama Depot, kind of. Like, he sold a lot of everybody's stuff, didn't he? Right? Or did he have his own brand too?
He had his own brand, but he was also just the, he was like the Kendama dad of Northern California. He was opening up syndicates. He was doing a lot of stuff for the progression of what Kendama is.
Yeah.
And as we know, like, influx of Kendama back in like 2015, it was just like up and down wherever the scene would go. And then, you know, it kind of tapered down and go to a new place. So Jason really cultivated the kind of Northern California Kendama scene. Aside from like San Francisco, but by like Milpitas and all those other places that were there, he really helped bring Kendamas to a place, or Kendama players to a place to be able to play Kendama. You know, he had one store, he had a few of these other syndicates and a few of these other malls. And those were some of the best times, like traveling around, being with Wyatt, being with Jake, just playing Kendama up in Northern California.
Yeah.
And also Jason did the whole, I'm not sure what happened with it, but I think he proposed or started the first like Dama bearing company, like Dama beads. Or I don't even remember. It was like me, Wyatt, Jake, and somebody else were like sponsored by Dama. Is it Dama beads? I can't remember.
Isn't that nuts though? That's before, like, that was just a thing that's
before. Yeah.
They just came on all our Damas.
Do I even have a bead?
Look at that.
Oh, yeah. That, like, this thing. Yeah. Like, yeah. That was before we had these. So we had to, every single time, take our Kendama off, take this out, take the bead out, put the bearing on, and then put it in there. Sounds like a third world problem, but, like, hey, it was rough. I got delicate hands, man. I can't be time locked.
Dude, Jake in chat says Jason is the reason we have bearing beads today. And, like, before they were bearing beads, they were, like, yeah, they do try to make a company because no one else had them. No one else could sell them. But then at some point, it just became like people just found them on the internet. And then once that happened, like, the doors were off and everyone started putting on every Dama. And but it did change Kendama. And that's crazy that you were sponsored by the first bearing bead company in Kendama.
I remember that.
That's a fun fact I was not expecting to pull out of today's conversation. That's for sure.
It was me, Wyatt, Bray, Jake Weens, and I think somebody else, but I know for sure those three.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny, dude. Okay, so, well, no, I just want to, because I don't want to take your whole day, but I want to talk about your life today and maybe like the, not the end, but like when, you know, let's tell the story of when Kendama, you know, became less a part of your life, you know, and when you gave up your video editing and working for Kendama USA, like, to someone else, and obviously started your own company. Like, what was your transition, like, away from professional Kendama into real life?
Yeah, absolutely. So Kendama for me, I felt like I reached the pinnacle of what I could possibly do. Like, I went on tour, I dropped a few pro models, I traveled all around the world. I just made a lasting impression on this company and this place. And Kendama to me will always be a part of my life. Like, I'm never not going to play Kendama. I will have a Kendama on me all the time. Mm-hmm. And the big thing here was like, okay, I've reached this point. Like, what do I want to do with the rest of my life, or what I want to do? Like, I had some design background. I had some photography. Like, I went back to school a little bit.
Oh, nice.
And I was like, no, I'm going to, I dropped out of school because I was like, I have the ability to tell a story with my camera and people want me to shoot for them and pay me. And at this time I was like, I was dirt broke. I would like, didn't have any money. It wasn't because of Kendama. It was just like, that's what it was. I had other things that I had to do, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay, what can I apply myself and figure something out? So I ended up getting a marketing internship at a watch company.
Oh,
and through that company, I started to shoot photography for products and lifestyle campaigns and started creative directing and all these things. And that's where I really started to understand the full breadth of a company. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to learn video, I'm going to learn photo, I'm going to learn studio, I'm going to learn creative direction, I'm going to learn all these things. So in that trial period, I just consumed all this information. And that was around, I did marketing internship for a few months, and then it led into me doing their photography in-house.
Mm-hmm.
And then it led into me doing their video in-house, and then it led to me just doing like six different roles. So I was doing like social media management, photography, video, assistant creative direction, whatever it was. And I was like, fuck this. Like, I should go start my own thing because I can do this for other companies. People want to work with me already. Fuck it. Let's take the leap of faith and do it. I made calculated risk and I'm ready to do it. Mm-hmm. That's when Make Waves Production started in 2021. I signed the paperwork. I got the LLC. Damn. I was kind of doing it low key because I was still, I was traveling still. I was like going to Mexico, and I actually was like homeless for a second because I had to move out of my place, and then my job thing, and then my car got hit, and I was just like, it was a mess.
Wow.
But I was like, I'm powering through this. I got this. I know exactly what I need to do.
Yeah.
And that's when I really started to put in the work to my production company. I loved video. I loved photo. I loved telling a story through my visuals, through Kendama, through the clients that I've worked with. And that enabled me to understand that photos and videos only go so far.
Mm-hmm.
And I had experience doing branding initiatives. I'd been networking and traveling and meeting all these people and just trying to merge myself in this creative field in San Diego. One thing that everybody knows about me is I love to talk and I love to network. Mm-hmm. And that was the perfect opportunity for me in San Diego to put myself on the map in the creative space. Whatever I had to do, whatever I had to learn, I was going to do it.
Yeah.
Just like Kendama, I picked up a Kendama. I want to be really good at it. It's kind of the same effect. It's just a different phase of my life.
Mm-hmm.
So from there, over 2 years, I was trying to figure out the whole production company thing. I was traveling to Mexico. I was traveling to Seoul, Korea to do campaigns for different companies. And then I'd come back and try and manage things here and do all these things. And it's like, damn, I can't shoot. I can't edit. I can't travel. I can't do everything myself without like completely burning myself out. I have to expand. And I have to delegate to make myself grow as a person and as a company.
Yeah.
So with that happening, I had all this experience and I'm like, okay, why am I running a production company when I don't like to do it? I don't like planning. I really don't like any of this to the extent that I thought. So I was like, okay, let's pivot. I wouldn't say it was a failure. It was a learning curve. It was a learning lesson to where I'm at now.
Yep.
So with that being said, I started shooting jewelry. I started shooting like fashion stuff. I started shooting hats. I started shooting merch. I started shooting all this cool like fashion stuff. You know me, I've always been about fashion. I love, you know, fashion in general.
Yeah.
And that's when the agency's talk started coming because I was like, oh, we're doing branding initiatives here. We're doing this, that. And that's where Make Waves Agency came about. And that was 8 months. That was 2021 into 2022, and 8 months of my life, I rebranded my whole website. I worked with a developer and designer to rebrand everything, and that's what Make Waves is today. Make Waves is a creative agency growth company founded by founders because we've been in the same positions as other D2C companies. Just like you, Matt, like you probably go through shit on a day-to-day basis in a D2C space through your email marketing, through your retention funnels, through your acquisition paid, like all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That's where we come in, and we actually come in to help you and grow your business in that sense. I didn't know any of this 3 months ago. I literally took a crash course in email marketing the last 3 months because we brought on a 9-figure brand and took over their whole retention funnel.
Jeez.
And made them $500,000 in 30 days.
Let's go.
So my whole like life is put me right in this place right now to be here. And it's just like the fact that we're having this conversation is just crazy to me because all the experience I had with Kendama, all the travels, not one piece I will ever forget because it's who I am today.
Yeah, dude, it's so sick. You were on my top of my list of people. In the new year, my goal was to have an interview each week with someone that like shaped Kendama or someone that like meant something to me in like my Kendama life. And you're just someone who I feel like I don't keep in touch with enough, like along with a lot of other Kendama people, to be honest. But that's why I was really excited to just see where you're at and see where Make Waves has come, because I've seen all the phases, and this latest phase is really cool to hear because it's a space I am in a lot. And like in the background of Suites, we do all of that stuff, not at the extent that you are, but that's so sick that you have like made a company that people that have that kind of income are coming to you for help. That's got to feel really great. And that's got to feel very validating to that jump you took off that cliff in 2021. You know, that's pretty sick.
Absolutely. Yeah, it felt like I was running on a treadmill for a really long time.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm still growing as a person. Like right now I'm I'm learning how to adapt to my new role in this company, but also I'm loving every second of it. I'm doing exactly what I wanted to do, and I can see my work come out with the team members that I currently have under MakeWaves, and it's just really cool to see that. And I don't know if you guys know any of these brands, but like Built Basics is somebody that we're working with. They're cool. Like a basic company, premium basics company. True Classics one. One I've kind of kept under the radar a little bit is like Yeezy. So that one's like pretty cool with me.
Yeah.
But other than that, like we're doing really cool things and working with really cool brands, and it's I'm shocked that I'm here, but also I understand why I'm here too. Yeah. And like without everybody in the Kendama community, like I would not be here at all. So whoever's in here, like huge shout out, and all the past Kendama players. And I see a lot of stuff still, and I love seeing these new tricks and everything like that. So continue to keep pushing, because I'm here for it all, and Kendama will live inside me for the rest of my life.
Ah, oh, dude. Well, I appreciate you a lot coming on the stream today and taking some time to kick it with us, because you do mean a lot to a lot of people in the chat. I've been skimming it as we go, and there's a lot of homies who aren't usually in the stream who are here today just to say what up to you, because I think, you know, there's Kendama's getting far enough away from when we started that there is just a back in the day, and we are part of that. You are a solid part of the back in the day of Kendama, and I love it. Look at, oh, and he still knows how to shred. He don't know, don't matter, dude. He still rips. We do giveaways at the end of every show. Is there anything special that you would like to give away to our wonderful viewers? Oh, he does have one.
This is the V2 2018 pro model. I don't know if you can really ever get this anywhere, but this should go to somebody that really appreciates it. And whatever I need to do, sign it, write a note, I got you. So we're giving this away.
Yeah, dude, please, I think, sign it. And then I'll hit you up after on Discord for the giveaway for sure. Awesome. Dude, Ken Garden wants to know, does MakeWaves do babysitting in the Chicago area?
I will be thinking about starting up a business in 2024. I'll let you know, Jake.
Dude, yeah, he'll come home and Owen will have like slick back hair and just be flossing. It'll be hilarious, dude.
I'll make sure he has golden abs and everything.
Oh, dude, TJ, it was so nice reconnecting with you, brother. Keep on grinding, Kendama. Keep on grinding your business, dude. And we'll see you soon, hey? Maybe at the next Kendama. And maybe at the next Kendama event, dude. Maybe we see you in person, Nako, this year or something. That'd be sick.
You'll see me. Don't worry. I'll be out.
Oh, let's go, dude. All right, brother.
I appreciate you, Matt. Thank you so much, man.
Yeah, dude. Have a good rest of the day.
Bye.
Later. Cheers.